So, could you explain the seed sovereignty and the movement of that in New Mexico and also globally, but, you know?
Well, a lot of our food and seed sovereignty work here in New Mexico is addressing these concerns, you know, of what are these corporations doing in terms of claiming ownership to seeds and manipulating them, you know. And they shouldn't be surprised we're doing this, you know. Wouldn't they take action if somebody was molesting their children? You know, that's what's really going on, is sexual molestation of plants, the way I see it, the way I think we all see it who are working on this issue. And so, you know, we came together because we hear the news, you know, and we're trying to address it in whatever way we can. Now, we've just passed a memorial at the legislature, which was a year after we signed our first food and seed sovereignty declaration, which can be found on our Las Acequias website. And you know, people were trying to pigeonhole us. They called it the Monsanto Memorial. They, you know, we got editorialized that we should be over there trying to change the original language. We had some really strong language in there, you know, and we conceded. We took out some of the languages that pointed to the corporations in terms of, you know, their patenting of life forms, their unknown health effects, their refusal, their efforts to not allow labeling, you know, the fact that corn is being contaminated in Mexico. We allowed all that language to be taken out. And we could have kept that language. But the thing was, is this was just a memorial. This was just to educate the legislature that this is an issue that we're concerned about. And I think it's very telling that the corporations right away, you know, and some of these agribusiness entities wanted that language taken out, you know, because, you know, if you're a rapist, you don't want everybody to know that you're a rapist, because you know you screwed up, you know you're doing something wrong against people and against humanity. So you don't want that in a public document. So that's why they wanted that out of there. And to us, that's just fine, because really what our effort is not against these corporations. We're not against, you know, the genetic engineering corporations and the biotech industry, because ultimately they're against themselves. You know, that's not a direction that is right. So we are really for us. We are for those of us who want to save seeds, who want to eat local food, who want to have healthy food for our children, for our elders in the community. We want to have local produced food being served in our local institutions of learning and elderly care and in the stores and farmers markets. You know, we want a more local economy based on native seeds, based on crops that are appropriate to this area, that are variable and adaptable, you know, a sane agriculture, an agriculture that we saw in this area, that we even see in this area today, but that we really saw in this area, you know, 100 years ago, before the railroad came through. We had a very sane local agricultural economy, very ecological, very communal based. And based on water sharing, based on labor sharing, you know, and then with the coming of this economy, which has ultimately resulted in patenting and genetic engineering and all this stuff. But that same economy, when it first started taking root here, started to change our agriculture. And now we're looking back and saying, you know, that wasn't the best thing for us. We need to go back to what we had. And if these corporations are going to contaminate us and rape our seeds, then we have to be against that. You know, you have to speak up and respond. But that's not our focus. Our focus is, how do we increase the cultivation of native crops? How do we support farmers? And, you know, it was interesting in the legislature, this cotton farmer came up to us and she was all against our language and against, you know, some of the things we were saying. She said she wasn't against, you know, most of our efforts, but she was a cotton farmer down south. You know, cotton farmers using, you know, all kinds of chemicals, genetically engineered cotton, defoliant that reminds a person of napalm, Agent Orange, you know. And I told her, look, we are not against one single farming family in this country. I don't even care if you're growing genetically engineered crops, but what we have to do is figure out how do we shift this industrial agriculture to a more sane, and I don't even want to call it organic agriculture, but a more localized, sane agriculture that is not dependent on all of these things. It's not putting farmers in debt, in a downward spiral of debt. You know, our farmers are our most important people in this country, next to our teachers, if you ask me, because that's how we keep the whole society going. So let it be known on the record that this effort is not against any single farmer, not one farmer in this here state, in this here country. We need every farmer we have, because farmers, even if they're driving tractors and throwing chemicals around, they are usually farmers because they are coming from a tradition of farmers, and they appreciate the value of being connected to the land, and they just find themselves in this situation. Okay, so we are not here to demonize any farmers. We are here to bring them onto our side and figure out how do we shift this whole thing towards more sanity, and how do we bring them on our side? How do we get them to cultivate their own seeds? And you see, the corporations don't want that. They're suing people. They have a little mechanism that they're very fond of, I'm sure, which is, you know, somebody's native seed gets contaminated with their genetically engineered strain. They detect that in the corn, and then they sue the farmer for stealing. And that, you know, because they can buy off the courts and they can buy off all the bureaucrats and everybody along the way, you know, then that was able, even though that's insane as saying, you know, if I rape somebody, that it was her fault. That's insane. But yet that's what the law is saying. So, you know, some of these same corporations are trying to get these small farmer seed savers out of the way. They're brushing them aside using the legal system, saying you guys can't save your seed. In fact, destroy all your seed because, you know, it was found to be infused, you know, I would say corrupted, but, you know, they would use some other terminology, that it was infused with their patented genetic code. And that's, you know, that's ridiculous. So this is against a policy that treats corporations with more rights than it does groups of individuals. You know, when they tried to shut down our memorial in the legislature, we had to say, you mean to tell me that five individuals from different boards and different corporations have more power than, you know, thousands and tens of thousands of farmers in northern New Mexico and southern Colorado in this region? Give me a break. Go ask the people, is this a democracy or not? Okay, so then what?
And what did the woman from the cotton farmer say?
Well, you know, these people are very good. First of all, if they're using their system, they're very open to towing the line of the corporations, you know. They feel like they're getting some benefit. So, you know, she appreciated our efforts to save our seed. But she had already bought all the propaganda that the corporations were feeding her about, probably a fear-based propaganda, saying, if you don't use our system, you're going to lose this money. You're going to use, you know, conventional cotton. Oh, yeah, she said conventional or organic cotton uses twice as much water as genetically engineered cotton.
Do you know how many pesticides it has to use, though?
And, well, that's the thing, is they're saying that they don't have to use pesticides because the pesticide is inside the cotton. Mm-hmm. That's the genetic engineered aspect of it, is, you know, they genetically engineer the cotton to produce a BT protein, which is from a bacteria. When the insects eat that protein, you know, it kills them. So they're saying, oh, well, we're reducing pesticide usage. Now there's studies that saying that that's actually not the case. There's a lot of research out there that suggests that the genetically engineered corn growers and soy growers are using just as much, if not more, pesticides than they were before they went genetically engineered. So she was trying to toe that line, you know, which is just plainly not true. But yet, you know, That's the whole thing with information. Who controls the information and who believes what information they're receiving. You know? And I'm willing to accept that I'm wrong on a lot of things. But the thing is we have to err on the side of caution. We cannot allow our thousands of year old crops to be contaminated with some kind of Franken gene, some kind of Frankenstein food product, protein, whatever it is, to corrupt what we've had for thousands of years. Our biological systems have adapted with these crops, our digestive systems. We know how to digest corn. We know how to digest beans. You know, that's been in our biology for thousands of years. These things have not been in our biology, ever. We have bacteria in our gut. We don't eat bacteria like apples. And in fact, there's evidence now that's saying when bees are eating genetically engineered pollen, the part of the genetics in that pollen that is bacteria crosses back into bacteria in the guts of the bees, which means that there's exchange. And then the evidence is suggesting that the bees, with this new bacteria strain in their bacteria guts, or the bacteria within their digestive system, then starts to produce a yeast or a fungus, which then kills the bee. So, you know, it's not a contained, you know, if you have an oil spill, you might be able to set up a fence and dig out all that soil and put it somewhere and use some kind of biology or sunlight or something to clean up that contamination. You might be able to put boundaries on it and contain that type of contamination. But when you're talking about genetics and living things, they reproduce. And then before you know it, what you thought was in the corn is now in the grass. What you thought was in the grass is now in the birds. What you thought was in the birds is now in the bacteria within the birds' guts and killing the birds. And then it goes from there because everything's connected to everything else. But see, these people just like, they're not thinking of that. They're thinking one thing, money, power. That's what they're thinking. And we're thinking, no, everything. Everything is connected and related. If you mess with this one thing, you just messed with everything. And it's depressing. But I don't want to get all overdone about this because I do have faith in the Creator. I have faith in the Mother Earth. And when it comes down, everybody's going to know what their part was in it. You know, they might not know it now, but everyone's going to know what their relationship to this thing was or is. And that's when it's going to hurt our conscience. As a people, we are going to grieve for what we've done to this planet and to each other, to our future generations. And we're just on the cusp of that. It is just beginning to happen. There's a lot of frustration, a lot of depression in this world. And that's why. Because we've abandoned our mother and we've allowed people with bad intentions to take her over. And we've got to get back. We've got to take care of our mom.